We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're on page Shinayin Chet. We had learned last night about the responsibility. We have to have intent, as the Mishnah recounts that the Chassidim Rishonim, the early generation of pious people, would take an hour of prep time, preparing their thoughts to focus, to remember who they're talking before, that they're talking to the Creator. Ulezot ayu mitnagim, we're on page Shinayin Chet, ulezot ayu mitnagim liyot shin sha'achat, kodem atfilah, and that's why they were accustomed to pausing an hour before prayer, lachshov im libo, to think, to clarify to themselves, lifnei mi amod litfalel, who am I standing in front of when I'm coming to daven? Halo lifnei adon olamim yotzer nefashot, I'm standing before the Master of Worlds, the one who forms souls, abuchen klayot valev, He who sees into our most inner thoughts, v'zochor kol ma'aseh olam, He knows our intentions, He knows our actions, ma'aseh shufkudato, every person on an individual basis, v'alilot mitzadei gaver, He knows what we were thinking and plotting behind each step of the way, asher kama pamim himra dvaro, and how many times did we make the wrong decisions? How many times did we do things in spite of Hashem's commandments? So if a person thinks about it, so then a person can enter prayer and subdue his heart a little bit. You know, our hearts, it's as though they have a mind of their own, our desire to feel independent to the point of being independent of the Ribbono Shel Olam, what we call porei kol, we try to remove the yoke of heaven, so we don't say it overtly, but somewhere deep down in our hearts, we have to remind ourselves, hey, there is a boss. I have to answer up. I'll give you a simple example. How many people, when they look at their watch and see that they have 5 minutes left till davening time, how many people go? And how many people say, let me get one more thing done? Hopefully I'll be on time. Maximum I'll walk in a minute late. The chazan's always too slow. The speech always goes in a minute late. But wait, that's the exact opposite of what we just learned. If we'd really think about what we're doing, we'd come early so that we can think about who am I talking to? What am I doing here? So that's not easy for us. More people walk in late than walk in on time, let alone early. That's one of the things we have to learn from the Sephardim, to walk in early, to come to davening early. So what does an Ashkenazi do when he comes early? He learns something. What about thinking? What about saying Tehillim? What about preparing our souls? We don't always have to be busy intellectually. We also have to prepare ourselves emotionally. We have to prepare our emunah, our thoughts. Az yagienu man yabusha v'aklima, ech litatzev lifnei Hashem yitbarach. If a person only stops to think, what are my responsibilities and how often have I transgressed? How often have I reneged on my responsibilities? So then a person actually gets embarrassed and he asks himself, how am I going to enter this conversation? What am I supposed to say now? Kemamar, as the verse says in Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu lamed chet, boshti v'gam nichlamti ki nasati chirpat nehurai. I am so embarrassed, I am so ashamed as I carry the shame of my youth. Now, we all have things to be embarrassed about, but how often are we embarrassed? Rarely, if ever. We charge into prayer. We know, firstly, we know when we want to leave prayer, and secondly, if we're already focused, so then we know what demands we'd like to make, what our requests are. But what about our responsibility? What about the meaningful connection that's supposed to be there in tefillah? And especially if a person thinks to himself about Hashem's hashgacha, Hashem's observance of each individual, and Hashem is watching over the world at large. Every minute, Hashem gives the world life. As our sages taught, the verse we say every morning, every soul gives praise to Hashem. Over every breath. I had the good fortune of spending a week next to a baby in the hospital, when the baby was on those saturation machines and they were measuring every pulse, how much oxygen was in his blood. And you see it beeping, beep, beep, and they're following the baby every breath to see his saturation levels. How much oxygen does he have in his blood? Today they put an infrared thing on his finger or on his hand, and they can check that way how his breathing's going. And you see the kid is fighting for life, every breath. And we breathe and we don't think about it. You know? When was the last time we stopped and thought about each breath? Kol ha-neshama, our sages say, over every breath. You think?
Thankful.
We can
breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. Zichonam livracha, b'sefer ha-zohar, and our sages alluded to this in the Zohar, b'ma'amar, on the verse, Ko amar ha-kel ha-shem bore ha-shamayim notem, ho-ka ha-arz ha-tetzayah notem ha-shama, la'am ha-lev roch la-olachim ba. The verse says, so says Hashem who created the heavens, spread out the heavens, established the earth, and all that walks on earth. He gave breath to the nation that walks on it. The verse doesn't speak in the past tense. Hashem who created the heavens and the earth and gave life, but rather in the present tense. Bore, roka, noten. Hashem who is creating, who is establishing earth, who is giving breath. B'chol shata v'shata b'chol riga v'riga. So the Zohar says, every minute, every second, Hashem is giving life to earth. We only come in contact with that. In the natural course of life, we only come in contact with that when we feel it is threatened. When a person has a relative who's on a dialysis machine, so then they start thinking about the importance of kidneys. When a person has a relative who's having difficulty breathing, they start thinking about the importance of breath. But in fact, if we would stop and think every day before we daven, so then it's something to talk about every day. It's a part of our lives. It is our lives. So that's what Magid Midivna was stressing in these two paragraphs, the importance of taking time before prayer to think about what's important to us. What are we going to talk about? And he gave the most basic examples of life. I think there are many examples that we should think about. I was at a wedding last night where most of the crowd at the wedding was from Har Nof. Almost everyone there davens in that shul, B'nai Torah. And I used to learn there. So I'm looking around the room and I see people all around me. And I didn't want to tell them. But when I heard the terrorists walked into that shul, I was thinking about each one by one in my mind. I know these people and I'm thinking, is the Baal Kore okay? Is the Gabbai okay? Is this one who learned in that corner okay? You know, we didn't know initially who was hurt, who was killed, who's okay. And in my mind, I'm going through the people I know. And now I'm standing at the wedding and everyone's happy and smiling. And I'm looking around the room and I'm thinking, thank God this one's alive and that one's alive and that one's alive. Did I ever think that way before? You take it for granted. For a few years, I used to learn that Beis Medrash. I'd come in. I loved the laning of that Baal Kori. Did I ever stop and say, thank God he's alive? No. No. If we don't say it about ourselves. We barely say it about our relatives, and certainly not other people in our lives. And if we'd stop and think about it, our lives are fragile. And at every moment, we have what to talk about. We have what to think about. You remember Thursday, a week ago, we were learning here and suddenly one of the guys gets a phone call from his mifaked, from his commander, and he has to leave because they thought something was taking place over the weekend. They didn't tell us that anything took place. We don't know right now, right? We assume nothing happened, right? It was a false alarm. We don't know. But suddenly we have to daven for him. But just because we're sitting here right now, we don't know how many soldiers are out there on the front that we have to daven for. And we don't know what dangers are around us that we have to daven for. So these things are difficult to think about. We don't walk around every second thinking about them, but we should think about them before davening. And that's the advantage of having a little bit of time before we start davening to think about the needs we have that we tend to overlook on a day-to-day basis. There are two approaches to this. A person can analyze life this way before davening and walk away very uptight, very nervous. A person can analyze life this way before davening and walk out very encouraged and very happy. Look at all the blessings we have on a daily basis. For years, I was concerned about Bnei Torah. I was very concerned. All the years I was learning there, for years I was concerned about Merkaz Harav. Long before a terrorist walked into Merkaz Harav, I asked the government to put a guard there, and I went when I was a student in the yeshiva. I actually went and asked to ensure that they would post someone there, and there was the government said it's someone else's responsibility. And to make a long story short, it didn't happen. But we look at what happened, and you can look at it and say, look at the terrible thing, 8 people were murdered. On the other hand, there were over 200 people present. A person walks in with a weapon, and there's no one there with a weapon but him, 200 people present, so every one of them is a whole world. And yet there were another 192 worlds there. He walked into the room where there were only 30 people. There was another room right next to it with 150 people. The question is, how do you view it? Same thing with Bnei Torah. They had over 5 minutes, and I think about 12 minutes in the room. They had the only weapons in the room. And in that shul, you had tens, you had maybe 50, 60 people. And they had both entrances covered. There was no way out. So again, every person is a whole world. And yet, you look at it and you say, there's a blessing here. How did so many people escape whole, unharmed? So a person can look at things and say, I need to daven and be panicky and uptight. But that's not the approach. A person has to think about it and say, I need to daven. And I also have to be appreciative. There's a lot of blessing in my life. I have to pray. It should continue. I am capable of breathing. Thank God. Okay, I have to pray about that too. None of that's a given. These are thoughts that don't come easily, and they don't come on autopilot. And you can't just program them and hit the button and say, okay, now I'm hitting Shmona Esrei. Thank you, Rabban Shalom. I'm alive. I can breathe. Everything's great. Let's start Shmona Esrei. It doesn't work that way. The person has to sit and think about it. Otherwise, we end up regurgitating these thoughts just like we could regurgitate all of davening. Person can just fly through it, and that's not a good idea. So that's why it takes a little bit of time, and the pious people would take a full hour before davening. So we don't take a full hour, but nonetheless, a person has to take the time.